good morning, church. Merry Christmas. Please stand with us. We have a few carols selected this morning. We'd love to have you sing with us.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. And behold him, born a king of angels. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing ye choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God.
Thank you.
So good to see you all this morning. We've got lots of things still happening as we get close to Christmas. Tonight, they're having their youth lock-in. Say some prayers for Amy and say some special prayers that our youth have really touched in a special way in this time of year and their devotionals and their time together of fellowship. Also, you'll note that in the bulletin that we have our Christmas Eve services coming up this Thursday evening at 4, 7, and 11. The 11 o'clock service is the only one that will not have child care provided, so be sure and note that. And I also want to remind you that next Sunday on the 27th, there will only be two services. We've got quite a few out on our praise team. So we're going to just combine the 10:45 services, but they will be in the sanctuary. So 8:30 service is normal and only one 10:45 service, both venues there in the sanctuary. So I wanted to give you that note. And be sure and sign your attendance pads today so we can send you proper greetings, especially to our visitors. And now I want you to turn around and give the peace of Christ.
All right, will you please have a seat as we have our lighting of the Advent candle for this morning.
We'll be reading from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, God's greatest example of love. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls."
Please stand with us.
On the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. On earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic voice proclaim, Christ is born in
highest heaven.
Christ by highest heaven adored. Christ the everlasting Lord. Meet in time, behold him come. Offspring of a virgin's wounds. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see.
Please have a seat. Thank you.
All right, if my friends will come gather. All right, good morning. Good morning. Okay, I just want to make sure y'all are out there. So this morning, I want to talk about Jesus. Yes, we're going to talk about Jesus. I have a question for you. What did the shepherds and the sheep see when they were out in the fields? Star. What else? Star. They have wings. Starts with an,
angels.
Very good. They saw angels. And they saw probably lots of angels. And they saw a bright, bright light, right? Because the angels came and gave them a message, right? So if you were a shepherd and you saw all of these angels in this bright light, how do you think you would feel?
Scared. Scared. Happy, worried, excited.
Very good answers. I think I would probably stand there with my mouth wide open in amazement. You know, the shepherds were excited that the angels were there because they were telling them something. But you know what? It's more important of what they heard than the angels themselves. And here's the reason why. The first thing is that the angels told them that God is wonderful. Is God wonderful?
Yes.
He made the world. He made the moon. He made everything. He did make the world. And he made us. Yes. But you know, the best part about it, the best part about it is that his love for us is unconditional. That he loves us and he takes care of us every single day. And the second thing that the angels told the shepherds that was very important was that we need to live in peace. That we need to live in peace with our friends and that we need to live in peace with one another. And so think about that, because those were two very important things that the angels shared with the shepherds that night. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for the most special gift, your son. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
You'll note those persons that we have in our prayer list listed in our bulletin. We have two more prayer concerns we need to lift up. Janet Brandt, a new member of our church, is in Baptist Hospital over the weekend with flu and pneumonia. So please keep her in your prayers. And also the family of Lou Teeter, as Lou Teeter's grandson passed away this weekend. So we know the holidays is a time of joy, but life happens and sometimes it's a time of sadness. So let us go to our God in prayer. Most loving Father, as we gather in the presence of this room, we feel your spirit. We feel your love. We feel your touch. And God, as I look around this room today, I see so many faithful. But I also see new life hearing her first celebration service. I see the face of a new mom starting out that new life in the right way, bringing to church. I look around and I see those who have lost loved ones this year. This will be the first Christmas without that loved one. And their hearts are touched. I look around and I see praises, people that had new beginnings, either through career, a new place to live, maybe as a new member of this church. I look around, God, and I just see life. life that has been touched by your goodness and generosity and kindness, compassion and mercy. I look around and I know there's some hearts who are struggling with some pretty big decisions, struggling with trying to say the right thing or do the right thing in a complicated situation. But God, all around us, I see anticipation on faces ready to be filled with your Spirit and the power of your word, ready to go forward in this day, being lifted by your Spirit and make it a better day because they have had an encounter with you. So God, I thank you. I thank you for this family of God. I thank you for our experience known as Asbury United Methodist Church and our experience in worship and faith and in witness. And God, I thank you that my fellow brothers and sisters join me in asking for forgiveness of our sins. And I thank you that my fellow brothers and sisters join me in desiring to be stronger, practice more courage, and more discipline in their faith and in their life. And God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who join me in prayer for those who are not going to be around the table this year, whether because they are in eternal fellowship with you or whether they are serving across the world or across the country. So God, we lift all of these prayer thoughts to you, and we thank you that you're so magnanimous that you hear each and every one, and you're acting on each and every one. So we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus, our Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, who taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to receive the offering today, you will note that in your bulletin you saw some envelopes. If you care to support Methodist Family Health, this is your time to do so. And also a great shout out to the children and the youth who collected over, I don't know how many hundreds of blankets, but they're all going to the Stone Soup Mission next Sunday, which is when our time is to serve. And I understand Amy got the pie in the face. So good job, children and youth. And so we give thanks to God that some folks that need some extra warmth this year are going to have them due to your efforts. Let us pray. Gracious God, as this season reminds us to give and give and give, we're actually very thankful for all those opportunities to do that, Lord, because we are simply responding to the times that you give and give and give to us. So take these gifts, O God, anoint them with your grace and your Spirit, that they may be used for the good of your kingdom. Today and forevermore. Amen.
Isn't he beautiful? Beautiful. Isn't he Prince of Peace, Son of God? Isn't he? Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful. Isn't he Counselor? Almighty God. Isn't he beautiful? Beautiful, isn't he? Prince of Peace, Son of God, isn't he? Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful, isn't he? Counselor, Almighty God, isn't he? Isn't he? Isn't he?
This morning, it's my joy to share with you from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. I know this is a familiar passage, but try to hear it as if for the very first time. May the people of God be blessed in this hearing and reading of God's holy word. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." The word of God for the people of God. We continue in our series on the places of Christmas. And if you were not here a couple of other Sundays, let me just recap briefly. The very first Sunday, we looked at Christmas happens in the village. And as we thought about that, we realized we are the village, the family of God, the family of faith. And then we looked at Christmas happens in the fields. And we were reminded that West Little Rock is our mission field, and that we indeed are the shepherds. And we are reminded of the words of the Good Shepherd, who said, "And there are those that are not of this flock. I must gather them also." And we are the shepherds to make that happen for Christ. Today we're focusing up toward heaven as a place of Christmas. Christmas happens in the heavens. So when you think about that place of the heavens, the main characters, as we read just a moment ago, the glory of the Lord, the stars, and of course the angels. Ah, the angels. You know, kids have got it all figured out. One child, Jared, 7, says, "Angels live in cloud houses that God builds." Tanya, 9, says rather authoritatively, "All angels are girls because they wear dresses and boys don't." And then there's Meredith, 8 years of age, says rather matter-of-factly, "One thing's for sure, you don't want to get an angel mad. Because when they get mad, they draw in a big, deep breath, and they let it out, and somewhere there's a huge tornado." What's your idea of an angel. What do they sound like? What do they look like? At Christmas time, we usually focus on the characters, the mangers, the village. I'm afraid one thing we fail to do is to look up to the heavens, to think up. I think we focus on Bethlehem and out in front of us, and we fail to think about all that happened in the skies that night so long ago. A couple of weeks ago, we meditated upon the shepherds, and we realized that they were interrupted in an extraordinary way while they were doing their ordinary work. They had never seen the glory of the Lord's, its radiance and light. They had never heard talking angels. The angels winged their flight over the fields of Bethlehem, and they came to the shepherds with a simple message. It was a simple message, but it was multi-purposed. Three parts. Be calm. Quote, do not be afraid. Receive the message of joy, for I bring you good tidings of great joy for all people. And the third part of the message was, you are about to be delivered. You are about to be saved. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. A multi-purposed message by a multi-talented messenger. I've shared with you before that over the 33 years of marriage that Tony and I have lived apart, 9 years, two of those years was to finish up our respective graduate degrees, and then 7 years was living apart from our home in the itinerant ministry. And as those 7 years were a little bit later in life, you know, Tony married a younger woman, and sometimes that age creeps up on him a little bit. So I thought of an ingenious idea, and I would post this multi-purposed message on the door going out to the garage so that he could have it like a checklist every day before he went to work. Because I wasn't there to say these things to him. First bullet point on the list was, have you checked behind your ears for shaving cream? Second one, have you checked your mustache for toothpaste? Third one, have you got your phone? Fourth one, have you set the alarm? And the final one, which I felt was the most important one, have you buttoned all your buttons and zipped all your zippers? Multi-messaging. In our ultra-packed life, it's so important. We find ourselves sending perhaps the same message, but in multiple forms. For instance, in our church, from time to time, you get a constant contact email. That's to make sure that this important item within that email is received in case you didn't get it in the bulletin or you didn't go to Sunday school and get it in the Sunday post. We do the same thing with our loved ones or our coworkers. We send them the old-fashioned way, a phone call, or we text them via phone, or we email, or we Facebook message somebody. Same message, multiple forms. In the skies that night, a lot was going on. Not only were the angels pretty busy multi-messaging, but the stars were serving double duty to make sure that there was sufficient light for the shepherds to find their way to Bethlehem. And then there was like this singing billboard. Have you seen our billboard, by the way, down here on Napa Valley? Right there at Maryland and Napa Valley. And then there's another one over on Rodney Parham near Kmart. There was a singing billboard that night. The multitude of the heavenly hosts praising and singing, glory to God in the highest. And the light, well, it outshone any neon we've ever seen. Hear the evangel's message again. Do not be afraid. Folks, there's not a one in here that doesn't realize this. Fear sells. It does. You're frightened because you've heard someone in your neighborhood has become a victim of crime, or perhaps a business nearby has been vandalized or victimized. And the next thing you know, you're out buying or updating your alarm system, doing whatever you can to protect your home. Very understandable. Fear of falling. Certain demographic of our population, that's a major concern. They do everything they can to equip their bathrooms with rails, their porches with rails. They're very careful to scout out certain businesses or even churches for accessibility into it without fear of falling. Very understandable. We should be very mindful and sensitive to that. And so people in buildings and churches and homes, they're buying those things to help their homes or their businesses be safer in which to enter and which to exit. We think about all of the fear that's so prevalent in society today. And politicians are selling that fear, trying to amend constitutional rights, trying to get you to vote for them because they will ensure your safety if you just vote for them, and they will take care of all of your fears. Fear sells. Yes, the world tells you to fear. But you see, we carry a name on us, and it's Christian, which means we follow Christ. And what was the message for Christ that night? Fear not. Followers of faith in Christ do not practice fear. They practice faith. Fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Glory to God in the highest. The message of Jesus is peace. For there will be peace to all men. Peace is the message of Christ. Hear what he says in John 14:27-28. Peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but as I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in me, for evil is coming, but it has no power over me. Believe in me, for I will go away, but I'm coming back again, and I'm bringing you unto myself. Amen. It's that simple, my brothers and sisters in Christ. If we bear the name Christian, and we put Christ back into our name, then we are no longer to fear, but to only walk in faith. When someone is hurting, as followers of faith in Christ, we offer words of peace and encouragement. When someone is discouraged and fearful, we offer the promise of hope in Christ. When someone is ill and dying, we offer them words again of hope and of the reality of new life, eternally, in the only one, Christ Jesus our Lord. It's only a profession of faith away. It's only a committed life away. And I can say that to you, that anyone at any time can be saved in the love of Christ, because Christ himself did that in the last moment of a sinner's life who was dying on the cross next to him. Today you will be with me in paradise. So the first part of the multi-message of the angel was, do not be afraid, fear not. The second part was good news of salvation is coming to all people. That was huge. because the Jews, you see, believed they were the only ones that were going to be saved by Messiah. But they were just misinterpreting the prophecies. And if you read through Isaiah over and over and over again, you can't get any clearer than Christ is Messiah. And let me share with you why. Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. Remember the wounds of Christ on Calvary? Scourging, the piercing. By his stripes we are healed, the whippings, the lashings. He was oppressed and afflicted, but he opened not his mouth. Before Pilate, he would not answer. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, innocent lamb, bound, led, shoved, pushed. That's just one of the many prophecies that gives us a perfect portrait of Jesus the Christ, Messiah fulfilled. Not as a militant king, but as a suffering servant. Not one whose intent was to overcome the Roman Empire, but one whose intent was to overcome your sin and mine. Which was even more tremendous as we are so guilty of our sin. Not to come through force, but to come in peace. And then hear this in Isaiah 49. He has come as a light to the Gentiles that salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. He came for all. The Gentiles were all the non-Jews. He was coming for all. He is here for all still today. And I cannot think of anything that brings me more chills than this word in God's holy word. Chills because it is such a perfect portrait of Christ. It's the 16th verse of the 49th chapter. Even though they may forget, I will not forget. For behold, I have you engraved in the palms of my hands. Can you get any clearer than that? Messiah, suffering servant, not militant king, coming not in force, but in love and peace. It was Jesus' way of saying, I know your life is tough. I know every one of you have got your issues. I know every one of you have got your problems. I know every one of you get exhausted. I know you because I am of the Father, and the Father created you. And I know that you are looking and needing peace once and for all. But I'm here to tell you, you're not going to find that peace here in this world. No. You're only going to find peace through the gift of God's love. Because it is of God, not of the world. And it's for all. You don't get to decide who's worthy of my love. That's my job. My son came for all. That was the angel's message. The third point, final point of the multi-message. And with the angel was the heavenly host praising God. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men with whom he is pleased. How many times, have you ever wondered this? How many times do we miss God's messages simply because we fail to look up? We fail to think up. shared with you before that there are times that members of my congregation pastor me because I don't have a pastor. So there are members of the congregation from time to time who pastor me, and I'm so very grateful. But what's so interesting to me is so often they pastor me when I'm in the midst of trying to pastor to them. And one such time was my friend Nancy's. Nancy's mother was murdered, and I went over immediately to comfort her, to talk to her, to help her out of the shock. And you know, all she could say was Colossians 3:1. Think not on the things of this earth, but think on the things that are above. And I'll never, ever forget that. Where would we be in terms of receiving God's messages if we failed to look up, to think up? Noah, he would have missed the rainbow if he had kept his eyes focused on the water or checking on the animals behind him. Mary, she would have missed this glorious, if not somewhat frightening, message of the angel had she been so consumed in her chores and her work. Jesus would have missed God's great message. This is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased, if he had just been focusing the entire time on John baptizing him. And Peter? Peter would have missed Christ being transfigured there on the mountain if he had just stayed and lingered a little longer in the valley. Think up. In our lives, we tend to be pretty focused on the present, what's got to get done right now. We get caught up in the confusion and the conflict of right now. Or sometimes we linger and won't let go of the past and we're focused back there instead of moving forward. Or sometimes we're spending a lot of energy and time planning for the future, so worried about our future. We're all guilty of that. But what happens when we find ourselves consumed in any one of those modes is we're missing the now moment of God's presence. A year ago this past Saturday, I was in that wreck. And like so many of us who have been hit in a collision, a bit traumatized. There's the sound of the crash that months later just don't leave you. There's the sound of the sirens. There's the chaos, police report, rushing you on a stretcher, moving you to the ambulance, racing down 630, getting to the hospital. There's all of that. And you're in a little bit of shock. But that night, the angels were there. I felt them. If you looked at my blood pressure, you wouldn't have thought I had, but I felt them. I feel their presence often, but never more, my friends, than when I look up. And I think up. And I praise God, and I thank God.
ask how many of you remember that commercial. Can you believe it? The Christmas season's almost over. My plea to you today is please don't let it be over without taking a moment of solitude without anyone around you and look into the sky, into the heavens, and praise your Lord God for the greatest gift he's ever given, is still giving, and will give you to come. Things may not be perfect for you now. I understand that. But you can't wait till they are to praise God. Look at Mary. She had every reason in the world to complain about the hotel accommodations. But she didn't. Instead, what does the scripture say? It says she took all these things and pondered them in her heart. Things weren't perfect that night. The angels might have had to fight the wintry winds that were combating against their winged flight. But they got there. They completed their mission. And the stars, they might have had to work a little harder to pierced through a cloud or two, but they shone brightly over the hills of Bethlehem. The angels may have had the message, but it took the shepherds to spread it. And so I'm asking you today, are you open to hear and receive the angels' message to you? It's going to take some quiet amidst the countdown. But you're called in your faith journey to do that. It's a gift you can give not only to God, but to yourself. So are you ready to hear the angel's message? And when you do, what are you going to do with it? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite our celebration singers and band to come forward now. And as they do, let's just pause in a moment of prayer. Most loving and gracious God, the angels are still at work. The message is still important. The shepherds are still being called to duty. May we take your holy message, O God, and take it to the masses in how we live out each day, the way we drive, the way we interact at work, the way we celebrate in a festive way, and the way we come back and we worship you. So, oh God, we would pray that as this Christmas season draws to a close, that its spirit of Christmas will live on in our hearts this day and forevermore. Amen. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members or come forward and to pray, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing our closing song.
Became sin, who knew no sin, we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and he carried that cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah.
The ransom from heaven.
Such a blessing to be in worship with you today. Christmas is the time where we know that a lot of people that don't have that regular relationship with the church home, with the church family, quite often they'll just pop into a Christmas Eve service. If you know of someone in your circle of friends or in your neighborhood or at work that fits that description, why don't you invite them to a Christmas Eve service? Quite often, they'll say yes. As you know, we'll be worshiping at 4, 7, and 11 in the sanctuary. We'll be having communion, candlelight, carols, and we'll be rejoicing in Christ our Lord. Let us receive the blessing. And now, O God, may we go forward with the blessed Messiah, Jesus our Redeemer, in our minds and in our hearts, sharing his holy peace to all we meet. In his name we go forward in the love of Christ. Amen.